Please pray with me. Almighty and ever-living God, the source and perfection of all virtues, please grant that I may employ myself in what is just and preach what is true, so that in my preaching and in my ministry I may provide for your faithful people the teaching that brings them grace. Amen. Amen. Were I to sit down when I say please be seated, you might think my sermon is going to be really long. But standing is traditional and customary when someone is speaking to a group because standing makes one, the speaker, the focal point of what is happening and places the speaker in a place of authority. While being seated changes what is being said from the feel of being a lecture or a sermon into being a conversation. Perhaps that is why Jesus chose to sit down before he taught the disciples in what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' sermon is, therefore, it is a conversation that began with the Beatitudes, which we heard last Sunday, and is followed by Jesus telling his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth." As we all know, salt can be either harmful or helpful. Harmful because eating too much salt causes high blood pressure. And should we dump the salt we use to churn our homemade ice cream into the yard, the grass and the nearby plants will die. Salt is helpful because it helps our nerves function properly and helps valuable nutrients get into our cells. Salt also preserves food for later consumption. Salt tans animal hides for clothes. And salt has kept Lot's wife preserved as a pillar of salt at Mount Sodom to this very day. But mostly, we experience salt as a spice that makes bland food explode with flavor. Nelson Mandela considers salt to be so valuable for life. He said, "Let there be work, bread, water, and salt for all." Humanist writer William Hazlitt said, "Wit is the salt of conversation, not the food." And for anyone who considers Christianity a bland religion, Joyce Meyer wrote, "The Bible says Christians are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. On the job, in the grocery store, even among unsaved family and friends, God's people are there to bring seasoning to an unsavory situation." Today's gospel reminds us that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are not only the salt of the earth, but also the light of the world. Please notice that Jesus did not say, "You will become," or "You will learn to be the salt of the earth and will later become the light of the world once you have learned enough and proven yourself." Jesus said from the beginning, "You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world." This means we are to purify the world by first purifying ourselves from what is harmful. We are to preserve what is good, and we are to bless those whose lives have lost some or all of its flavor by giving them some of the salt we have received from Jesus Christ. But we must be careful not to lose the flavor our salt has by diluting it with the ways of the world. Because just as sea salt loses its distinctive flavor when it is boiled, dried, refined, or combined with the wrong spices, we too can become useless, bland, and harmful to someone in need of God's grace, love, and blessings. To protect our saltiness, the Bible tells us that when we do these things, we will always be salt and light to a world in need of a Savior. From Mark 9, chapter 9, verse 50, "Be at peace with one another." Be at peace with one another. From Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, "Never give up praying." Never give up praying. Stay alert and be thankful when praying. And from Colossians 4, verses 5 through 6, "Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the most of your time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. Having a fully alive life in Christ Jesus is like having salt on your table. It's actually meant to be used. So just imagine how vibrantly alive our lives could be if we were peaceful with everyone, if we were to continually be prayerful and thankful, and if we acted wisely and were great stewards of our talents, time, and treasure. And when we are being Christ's light to the world, we will shine brightly no matter how dark and disturbing the headlines are. But should we do the natural thing and allow the current headlines to dim the light within us and allow the world to dilute our spiciness, we can once again shine brighter the world by adding some heavenly salt and light to someone else's life by doing these things. By blessing someone in spiritual poverty, by sharing some of Christ's love with them. Blessing a grieving person with a hug or quietly holding their hand so they will know the comfort of God. Blessing the humble by showing them they are appreciated. Blessing the hungry and thirsty with some groceries. Blessing those who show mercy to others by helping them be merciful. Blessing those whose thoughts are pure by not making fun of them. Blessing those who work for peace by praying for them. And by blessing those who are being persecuted for doing good, by doing good with them. And if that's too much to remember, simply do this, which I frequently use as a blessing, and from what I am told, Bishop Duncan Gray Sr. used all the time. May all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. That comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. Who do you know that could benefit from receiving a little bit of the salt and light of Jesus Christ from you? Who do you know that could benefit from receiving a little bit of the salt and light of Jesus Christ from you? We will now have a moment of silence.